We just need to remember, no matter where we're at, you're not alone. I don't care where you are, you're not alone. We're going to go over to Isaiah 43. If I had my choice, I would go to Psalms 32 and preach exactly what little Elisha preached. And I'm hopeful he's listening, usually. I just want to say, what a mighty message that young man gave in our Bible class. And even his brother, Isaac, he gave one. It was like testimonies of what God was doing. But I tell you what, it's been on my heart all week long. It's like when God gives it out with an anointing, it should be there. You're pondering it. You're meditating. Or even Selah. Think about it. Meditate about it. Think about what's really going on. So if Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, do you ever feel like he's not there? Yes. Then what happens? Because that right there is like a little foothold. There's something right there that the devil doesn't want you to go on. Just a little crack in our faith, not believing what God just said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't say, I'll put you in the finest houses. I'm going to do all this good things for you. I don't care where you are. You may be going through things in your family right now. Do you not know he's right in the midst of it? He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley that we walk through. He's trying to get us settled and established and strengthened, that our faith, who we are in Christ, it won't waver. It won't be tossed to and fro with every wind and every doctrine that comes by. He will continually, like I said, when we get to that place that we feel a certain thing, the Holy Spirit, we were promised he would bring to us at the time we need it what he had said to us. And he does. He said, you walk not by feeling. You are to walk by faith. The new life that you now live, you are living by the faith. And I went through at home, and that's probably going to be another message. But I remember how strong that was when Gene said, the faith. And I always knew it wasn't my faith. It was his faith, but I really wouldn't know how to preach that. But now the Lord is expounding on it. It is the faith, the way, the truth, the life. It's all the. It's him. I don't care where you are. He wants it to be his way. He wants it to be his truth. There are so many truths going out today, and you can't measure it in the scripture with what they're saying. So what do you do with it? You cannot go along with false doctrine and false teaching. So as I went through here, Israel, I want you to go in chapter 43, because just because you're his does not mean you're not going to have trials. But he said, I want you to walk. Walk. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. How many times do we see fear not in the Bible? 365 times, one for every day. God knew. He knew we were going to have need to be encouraged, that we don't have to fear. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, making your requests known unto God, but also giving thanks. Why do you give thanks? Why do you give thanks in all things? Why do you rejoice in the Lord always? That's the only thing in this life that we now live in this world. We have to live above these things. We can rejoice in the Lord always because he's always there. He's got it taken care of. He's going to work everything out. This is a life of someone who's walking in and going to possess this land. He tells them, he said, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I bought you with a price. I have called thee by thy name. That's pretty close. Thou art mine. We have to take every one of these things for our life. It's in the New Testament. Fear not, I'm with you. Yea, though I walk, not run. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Most of us would want to run and get it over with. No, he said, yea, though I walk. Walking is to me, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know there's an end. It's only to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you have any expectation? What is your vision? Because without a vision, the people are going to perish. Oh, Jacob, I did form you. And he tells him, fear not. Well, he tells us, fear not. I called you. Has he called us? Yes. Called us to be saved? But most of all, what about that high calling? You know, a lot of people, and I remember Norm saying this, a lot of people want to be a preacher. They want to be seen of man. They want to be a teacher. They want all the outward show things that people see. I am this. Look at me. But that's high things that we're to cast down. That's when pride sets in. And he said, no, I've been called to the highest calling of all. What more do you want? You've been called to be the bride of the Lamb. We can be the bride. He's called us to a very high calling. And there's a goal and there's a prize. But when you go through this, just because you're his and just because I called you, remember you're redeemed. You've been bought. I paid this price. When, not maybe, people think, well, if I give my heart to the Lord, everything's going to be good, or I gave my heart to the Lord, and man, things are just going great. Until all of a sudden, something happens, and you come down. He said, when? You're not always going to be on the mountaintop. We just had that. Knowing the heights and the depths, the breadth, all of it. How high? Where was he? Jesus came down. But he had to come down and do those downward steps first. But then what? He took many sons to glory. He took many. And as I begin to ponder that, I thought, he came down. Well, we've been made low. We were made low with him. We went down in death. We came up. Now what do we do with that life? Well, has he seated you in heavenly places together in Christ? Have you been seated there? What did Jesus, the very example for us? He came down. He didn't want the showy things. He came down. It was all about other people. He wanted them to take their place and bring them up with him. That's what we should be. And Christ is still alive in me. That very ministry, that very love that he had, it hasn't stopped. He wants to bring them to the high places. That's why he put these letters. Paul wrote many letters to teach us. Put on the whole armor. Put on the new man. Walk in the light. Well, I called you and you're mine. But remember, when thou passest through the waters. So that means you're going to get out of the waters. You're going to come through this. What diversity, what thing is it that we're all going through? Each of us go through something. What is it? You're going to pass when you pass through the waters. I will be with you. So when you're having to go through the adversity or go through the waters, the best part of all is stop looking at the waters. Stop looking at you and, oh, what's going to happen? Look at the joy he put. He said, I will be with you. I am will be with you. I am the great I am. That's why he told Abram, walk thou before me. He said that second the first thing out of his mouth was, Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Ponder that. Anything you'll ever need, I'm there to help you. Then he said, walk thou before me and be perfect. Turn to God. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through, notice it doesn't say when you come to the waters, you're going to have this. No, he says, when you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. Why? I am there. He's the master of the oceans, the water, everything. When God said, maybe Elijah prayed, let it not rain. And God heard that cry. And God made it not rain. But there also came a time that he interceded and said, let it rain. See, God can do anything at any time he wants. And if we pray according to his will, you'll see him in a marvelous way. It'll be beyond what he did for me or he did for she. It'll grow to this place that as I think of him, as I walk with him, as I talk with him, you'll go through the waters, through the rivers. They won't overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire. Why in the world would you want to walk through a fire? I would run as fast as I could. No, you're walking through the fire. We already know in the scripture, the fire burns only away the dross, the things that we don't even need. It burns that off. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were told they were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace if they did not bow the knee. Would you be willing to say that today? If someone walked in and said, if you don't bow your knee, we're going to do this or that to you. I'll throw you in a fiery furnace. And you say, well, I don't believe somebody who's not worshiping God and loving him. There's no way you would say, if he does deliver me, or even if he doesn't, I'm not going to bow to you. I refuse to bow to you. Because my life is for him. Their life was for God. And if God is for us, tell me what fire, what flood, what river, what person, anything, it cannot prosper against you. If God is for you, who can be against you? So when you go through all these things, and that's what he kept bringing me to, was you're going through the rivers. It's not going to overflow you. When you walk through the fire, to me, if you're able to walk through the fire, that's a contentment that we have in the Lord. Eventually, it's got to quit burning. He said, you know, you can do anything to my flesh that you want. But once they're done with your flesh, it's finished. They can't do anything else. Thou shalt not be burned. You're going to walk through a fire. Yeah, not going to run. You're just walking in there. The form of the fourth was with them. Remember, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. They walk through that fire, and thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall that flame kindle upon you. Why? I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou was precious in my sight, do we not see how important we are to the Lord? He says these very things to us. If we go over and we see in Ephesians 1, 2, 3, all the provision that God has made. And then he starts what? What most people don't want to hear. It's 1, 2, 3 is all provisional. Now we have to walk in it. You'll walk by the ability wherewith he giveth. Once you've been encouraged in the Lord, And he said, he is able. He's able to do anything he asks. God is not going to ask you to do anything without the grace to be there to meet it. He won't do it. Because it'll always be my praise is him. He led me here. But I had to submit. I had to submit to his authority. We must walk in the light as he is in the light. Then you have fellowship one with another. But if I don't take that light and let it become mine and walk in it for myself, you know, we had in the class again, there were things that came out. They had no idea. Ray did, because I told him I would have to get off the phone. I was going to receive a phone call and I'd get back on. I was so overjoyed that I could walk out on my deck there in Colorado. And I don't know where all the other people are from that are listening. Some are from here. I went out, and the very one who's in jail began to say, it's I surrender. We must submit. He's with us. Don't let him get a foothold. Don't let him get that stronghold. He said, Nana, it's when he begins to speak to us, he gives it through his word. We're either going to believe our thoughts, what we're thinking. And he said, that's not easy. I said, yes, but you're made weak. Then you're made strong. And then all these things, he said, you know, you just admit to God. Get back on. The sermon's all about he hid things. There was a hidden agenda in David. He had a reason. People hide things, and it's called guile. We hide those things. People can't see it. It's a hidden thing. But God saw it. And he said, his hand was heavy upon me. It was heavy. And I'm hearing all this when I get back in. His hand was heavy on me. That's because he loves you. And the other son talked about chastening. He chastens you because you are his. He wants to instruct you in the right way to go. But David hadn't really entered in, and he was hiding these things. You can have hidden agendas in your heart, something that brings gain to you, or I did this, but they don't know it. You know, just think your heart before God. But when he convicts us, that hand's heavy. And the Lord said, but when he finds his hiding place, when he finally accepted the truth and we acknowledge God's authority, what he's speaking to our heart, he said, I wanted to be pure. I didn't want to have the wrong thoughts. So I went in and I've been studying about casting down every thought, every imagination, all the pride that could ever be there, all the high things. When you really ponder that, all these things, he said, all those things that are against the knowledge of God. Pride is against God's knowledge. It's against his word. He wants nothing to do with it. It's not going to prosper. That's why I say, Lord, please keep me humble before you. As long as I'm humble before you, I have need of your grace. I want to share and magnify what God's grace is doing, not what I've done. Not the, oh, what a good message. You know, we tend to do that. It is a good message. It is. And there's nothing wrong with commending those who have brought forth or yielded. They need that encouragement. I believe that. But it's you don't ever expect that, because I tell you, if you do, you'll get hurt. Don't ever expect that from anybody. And you can take this as words of wisdom. Never expect pats on your back for anything you do. I don't care if you give $5 to a poor man on the street. Oh, you were so penny. Do you know how many people would have just passed him by? Yeah, Jesus doesn't do that. He opened not his mouth. He didn't have guile in his mouth. It was all about truth. He was walking in truth. And he said as he went through, yes, there were going to be temptations. But what did Jesus use when he was tempted? And it wasn't of God. It proved he was the Son of God. The cross, the resurrection, it proves he is the Son of God. But when you're chastened, remember, he's doing it to bring you into a higher place. You want to go into the high calling of God? You're going to have to be chastened. You've got to be corrected. It's not an easy thing to want to enter into those higher places. You're going to have to be made low. I just had this yesterday. And it was almost like I was kind of baffled, like, how in the world did this happen? It was almost like a tailspin, okay? Something happens. I listened. And when I thought everything was fine, guess who did the bad? I did the wrong. That's what they think. I don't know if it's easier for them to just say, you are the reason or what? Because I went to God and said, Lord, what did I do? I only listened. I didn't even say anything. These are the kind of attacks. Expect it. They're going to blame you, but we're to be without blame. You have to know in here that the words that I speak, they are truth. They can blame you. They can persecute you. They can say all manner of evil against you. But is God for you? If God is for you, you're fine. It's going to all be good. I went through here and it said, I brought out Psalms 23. But then there was, go over to Genesis 13. Because we've been talking about go through and walk. Genesis 14. Oh, sorry, 13. I hate when I do that. I always do the wrong one. Okay, I'll just tell you what it was because I remember it. Abram, he came after Lot was gone. Now he's doing what God said in the beginning. After Lot had left, God's one-on-one with Abram. Abram, look, as far as you can see, the heights, look at all this. As far as you can see, that was mentioned to me yesterday. I could never see, as I said, because the natural man cannot see. The Holy Spirit does it. Abram, as far as you can see. I take that from my life. As far as I can see, it's mine. So I want the depths of God's word open to me. I want it unveiled. That is a revelation. To remove the veil. Take it away. Open it up for me, Lord. He will. He will do it. But he had to go in. He had to do what God said. As far as you can see, it's yours. I give it to you. Okay? So we need our eyes open. Then what did he tell Joshua? In Joshua, he told him in Joshua 1, he's going to be told to walk too. And I love it. Every time you see walk here or walk there, it seems so neat to me where God always says, fear not. Don't fear. Okay, he tells him right here in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot, what do we use our feet for? Walking, standing. Every place the sole of your foot, okay? Read it for you, as Joshua heard. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. But I love these verses. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. You see, God is not a respecter of persons. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So it looks like God's taking a pretty big place here. Well, let's see what the next verse says then. All you have to do is be strong. Where do you get your strength? The Lord. Be of good courage. Where do you get courage at? Not the storm. I get courage from him. Be of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide an inheritance of the land, which I swore unto the fathers to give them. Only you just be strong. Be very courageous. You see, he's gone from be of good courage. Now he's saying be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. But I love it. He says, you'll prosper whithersoever thou goest. Whithersoever you goest. I was thinking of different ones. What trial are you in today? Have you ever been in that one before? I was thinking, you know, when you hear people's testimonies and things they're going through, and they go, we really just don't know what to do. That's because you haven't been this way heretofore. I've never been here in this place. What do? I do the same thing I did in the last place. I want to grow up in Christ. Call upon him. I need you, Lord. I need more grace. Humble yourselves before the Almighty God. He said, I will give you what you need. I give grace to the humble, not to the proud, not the people who say, oh, well, I'm so well and I'm doing all good. And, you know, I'm the big Christian here and you're the little woe man down there. You have to be very careful how you say things to people. Let the Lord lead you. I remember once just saying a little tiny, but I learned from it. Well, you have to grow. And that person yelled at me so bad. What are you, grown? I go, no, I'm still growing. Well, you make it sound like you're better than me. I go, trust me, there is no good in me. The only good that's good in me is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that is the truth. If people want to see bad, you could follow me all day long. I'll show you what the flesh can do. If you want to see flesh, you see, man is judging by an outward appearance. They did it to Paul. Well, he's weak. Look at his bodily appearance. Look at, he don't look like he's a Christian. Why would we want to listen to him? Or take it down a notch. He's in jail. Why would I want to listen to him? She used to be a drunk. They used to take pot. They used to do all these things. Why would I want to listen to them? When you want to ask those kind of questions, you need to get back in the Word of God and you need to say, why did you use Saul of Tarsus? Why did you use Moses when he murdered somebody? Why did you use David when you knew? You know what he has done. He's supposed to be a king? A leader? You see, God is looking at the heart, the motives of your heart. That's why he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. So if you leave part of it for anything else, you're not loving him with your whole heart. That's a work that needs to be done. I wanted to be able to say, Lord, my heart is fixed. He's doing a work in his people. He wants us to take this word. And I'm talking to me. He wants his word to be alive. Remember the faith? Thy word. He is the word. The word. We want this to be in our life. We want to become who he, this is his whole plan. Not you're such a bad person and you ain't never going to measure up to nothing. You know what happens? People start measuring themselves one with another. Oh, I'm not as good as they are. Oh, I can't play that instrument like they can. Oh, I can't sing like that. Or I wouldn't want, you know what I loved in Burlingame? We had some and they'll tell you themselves. They couldn't sing a note. Not a note. I mean, on the whole song. If they walked up to you, and I'm serious, take this in your heart. What if they walked up to you and go, will you do a special with me Sunday morning? What would you say? Would you make an excuse? Oh, I'm too good, I can't sing with you. I'm serious. That's what happened. No one wanted to sing with them. No one. And what happened? Of course, the Lord said, Penny, tell them you'll sing with them. It was a joy in my heart. I sang with them. They were off key. I had to depend on the Lord to keep me on the right key of what I knew, because I ain't perfect either. Let me tell you, I thought that was the most beautiful song that had ever been sung behind a pulpit, because there was love. Love was in the midst, and that's what made it a good song. She was worshiping from her heart. And you know, today, she can sing. That's what God did. You give me what you got. I can increase it. But he's looking at that heart. And I just praise the Lord for that woman who came in my life. Let's all stand for a word of